So my claim is that data and AI are definitely not enough. And you might ask, why aren't they enough? And the short version of it is, as I'm sure many of you already know, that causation is not correlation. Okay? And when you really get into science, causation is critically important. And what is happening in these models, with the AI models, with a bunch of data, is essentially at least what was happening at the time that in the 2010s and this kind of big data time was essentially association is like correlation. You just look at a bunch of data, you look at relationships between things, and there's a very well-known researcher named Judea Pearl. This is a figure from his book called The Book of Why, talking all about how causation is really important. And so he has this ladder of causality, and the lowest rung of the ladder he calls association. It's sort of seeing or observing. And just that you see that, for instance, cancer and smoking are related to each other, but to be able to say that there's something causal happening, like, it's the leaves are blowing and it's windy. And if you ask a little kid, why is it windy? Like, occasionally kids will say, because the leaves are shaking, right? Like, maybe not, that's not the causal story, right? So higher in this ladder of thinking is the idea of being able to do interventions. So you have higher level kinds of questions, like, what would happen if I did the following? What would happen if I went on a diet or I took an aspirin or something? That's not, you're intervening in the system, and so you're really changing things, and it's a different kind of question. And then there are even higher level questions called counterfactuals. It's a big $1,000 word, but it's very similar when you talk about, like, the basis of law. Like, you're asking, like, what would have happened if you had done something different? So counter to what you actually did, counterfactual. And so these are even a more difficult kind of question to ask, but they're, again, at the heart of doing science. So if we want to be able to do these kinds of things, you're not going to just solve it with data alone. So I'm going to now switch into what I would sort of more modern view of what AI for science is. This is my view, but I'm not the only one. There are other people that are kind of thinking along these lines. Of course, there's diversity of opinions out there. But so one thing is, I'll just say that if you go back before all of this AI stuff, the way we approach problems was with human intelligence, right? We had interpretable mechanisms that were happening about biology or physics or chemistry or something. And the way that we approached science was guided by expert knowledge and theoretical insights. And we had a lot of handcrafted solutions where we knew what was going on, but it was very labor intensive and slow, right? And then the pendulum swung way over to the other side with big data, paired with what was going on with machine learning, where the idea was we're going to be data driven, which I'm all for data. I'm a director of a data science institute. I'm not anti-data, but it was just like, it's more the second bullet point that you're going to eschew expert knowledge. It's like, we don't need expert knowledge. We don't need theory. We're just going to solve it all with a bunch of data, which I don't believe in. And we're going to try to replace this with kind of black box end-to-end learning.